So as we look at the world around us, you watch the news, you see events, we hear things, we can see that the conditions in the world are declining. In fact, every nation, not just ours, but man might think he's progressing, but as we look at it and as God speaks about it, we're going downhill when you consider the amount of hunger in the world. Thankfully, I don't know any hungry people, but there are hundreds of millions of people around the globe that struggle with that. Of course, there's crime, disease, pollution, there's corruption, and I could go on and on. Even consider our national debt. I mean, all of us that are looking at that are aware of how much we are spending compared to how much we are making. And it doesn't have a good end if you project that out. And so there's a good reason why God told man to seek first his kingdom, right? He wanted to bless us. He wants to give us abundance. And yet man continues to drift away from God. And yet we're here to learn how to come closer to God. I'd like to read to you a few news excerpts from 8 years ago. So I found these and I thought I'd just relay them. We know the world's even worse today, but look at the mind of man and how things are coming along as we go towards the end of the age. So let me refer to a few of these. So author Tim Brown commented on a story written by the United Nations Committee on the rights of our children. He stated, quote, "The United Nations report was produced by an 18-person group of independent experts of high moral character." Okay, so that's what they call themselves. So you think about that. So here's what they came up with. The committee said that demanding children engage in daily acts of Christian worship at school may go against their freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. Isn't that interesting? These are some of the smartest people on earth, and they're gathering, but they're saying, you cannot make children worship God. You might, hurt their inner thoughts. He goes on to say, Britain must stop forcing children to attend Christian school assemblies because it undermines their human rights. So, from 8 years ago, and we know things have progressed from there. And so it's shocking to me that the United Nations would put out a report like this. It shows you where we're at, man apart from God. Another article, this is about Maryland schools. In those schools in that state, they had an overnight outing. And the chaperone must always allow the boys to sleep with the girls because of privacy rules. The teachers are not allowed to disclose to the parents what actually is going on. So you stand back and you go, wow, this is amazing what man does. So not only are the parents not able to give any input, they're even kept out of the loop as to what are you doing with my child and do I approve of it? Another quick news point is the Charlotte race riots, and this was years ago, as you know. And I just picked out this one comment. Here's what the police chief said. 70% of those arrested, in that riot, are from out of state. He says they're coming in on buses to stir up trouble. So you look at what the mind of man can do, that they're actually going somewhere to stir up problems. And so we can see our system is breaking down. And it's only worse today, some 8 years later. Brethren, we desperately need the kingdom of God. And the time pictured by the upcoming festivals, particularly the Feast of Tabernacles, those 7 days, and what Christ will do, his millennial reign, we desperately need that. It will be a time of peace, a time of organization. Think about how God will do things so differently than what we see today. The saints will be resurrected, and we will be teaching God's laws. So a tremendous amount of teaching needs to be done. We will be cleaning up the environment. Can you imagine the mess from war and the cities and the destruction from bombs, etc.? And at that time, then, under Christ's rule, man will begin to live as God intended. So we look for that. We hope for that. And so at that time, we'll have more time with our brethren, time with family. We'll be reminded of the changes under God's government. And I'm speaking also about the Feast of Tabernacles, that we can do all this as a representation of what is coming, that we can picture that on a fuller scale. Let's begin today in Leviticus 23 and verse 24. here God lists his feast days, and then he also commands not just us, but all of mankind to keep them as a statute forever. So I'll just list some of the fall holy days. We've already observed the Feast of Trumpets, but verse 24 here in Leviticus 23, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." So what a privilege it is to have God's instruction for us to come and be taught. And so on the Hebrew calendar, today is the third day of the seventh month, because just several days ago, we just kept the Feast of Trumpets. Verse 27. It says also, so these are instructions from God, and he says, on the 10th day of the seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. That word afflict, the Hebrew word anah, meaning to be bowed down, to be humbled, to be meek. This is what God is inviting us to do. And at that time, as we keep the Day of Atonement next Sabbath, we recognize that it pictures a time when Satan will be put away. Look at all of the destruction and chaos he has fomented among the nations. He will no longer be the God of this age. Verse 34. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days to the eternal. So we have learned what the meaning of that time is, Christ's millennial reign. And not only that, but a transformation on this earth unlike we've ever seen. You know, everything you see broken down, messed up, and chaotic will be changed under God's rule. And then if we were to read more, we could read about the eighth day, and we have come to understand that beyond that millennium, there's a time when God will resurrect everyone who has ever lived and give them a chance to learn of his way. Literally, the dead being raised back to life. Only God could do that. And yet we know the world today is very blind. They do not understand God's ways. They do not keep those laws. And yet we have the opportunity to do so. And we will have the chance to help teach them of that way. So these last four festivals are so special. And as we observe this time of year, we can really rejoice in that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22. As we read the Bible, we realize that God is telling us that end time events will grow worse. And we hate to see that. We hate to hear that. But we can see it actually happening. And we know that God will intervene, so that's the positive part of that. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. So this is referring to what we call a second tithe, that would be used by our families to attend God's festivals, including even the Sabbath. It's a feast day. So if you went out to eat today, you could use second tithe because these are God's feasts. Verse 23, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks. And I want you to notice this. What is the reason for all that? That you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Tremendous statement that we can overlook. And so God invites us to come before him in all of his festivals. He wants us to eat, except for on the Day of Atonement, but he wants us to eat his spiritual food on that day, as well as all the other days and the physical food, and to enjoy life, to worship together. And God chooses those days, those times, that place, and then says that you may learn to fear me always. Each holy day grants us an added opportunity to increase our respect for the one who designed these days, the one who designed us, for the one who offers us eternal life. And if we follow through on this, if we were to read down further, it would tell us that God's willing to bless the work of our hands. That we aren't just going about in life and not getting anywhere because we're trying to do it on our own. My title today is Developing a Deeper Respect for God. Learning to properly fear God is a process which should be developed throughout our entire lives. We may not have done a lot of that prior to our calling and coming into the truth, but now that we have been, we need to work on that. So I have a question for each of us. Are we content with our level of respect for both our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ? And if I kind of answer for all of us, I'd say, well, I'm trying to do that, but I know I can do better. In fact, Christ says that through him we can do all things, you know. So we can improve in that. We owe our lives to them, to God. They have offered us a beautiful future, and so we should do everything we can to show that respect to them. With the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles, Day of Atonement, Eighth Day, it is a reminder to grow in learning to fear God. And as we look at the scriptures today, we'll see that this is on God's mind, and he wants us as his children to grasp that. We must stand in awe of God. We must learn how to esteem God, because he is worthy of all worship. Are we willing to improve in this area? Because it says always. It means we can't do well this week or this month, this year, and then next year coast. No, we have to grow in it continually, improving. And not only during the feast, but every day of the year. And after a festival season, it's vital we go home from, let's say, the Feast of Tabernacles, and we practice that. We put it into our lives and we begin to improve, because this is what our Father is asking of us. So today I would like to encourage all of us to increase our admiration and reverence for God, because we can do better. Our Heavenly Father wants us to have a deep reverence for him. And at times, especially as we come out of the world, we don't fully understand, like, do I revere your laws, your words in the Bible? I mean, everything that comes from God needs to be respected. Everything we do must show we esteem his precious commands, even his very name. That's why we don't want to take it in vain, because he is worthy. So it mentioned here to learn to fear God. The word learn means to gain knowledge or skill by studying, practicing, or being taught. So are we learning to fear God? A large part of the Feast of Tabernacles is to practice and gain knowledge in how to fear the supreme being of the universe. And whether we're going to keep our first festival, our 30th, our 50th, it matters not. We all have things to grow in, because God is giving us a time to provide opportunity to increase our respect for him and for one another. You know, at times our relationship with God can be similar to how our children respond to us. Or maybe I could add how we responded to our parents when we were children. You know, you can come to that point in life, let's say as a teenager, and you look to your parents and go, ah, they said that, but I think I got this figured out. It won't hurt me to stay out late or to drink too much or to drive when I don't have my license. Whatever we try to do to get around our, let's say, our parents' rules, well, God looks at us the same way. He's saying, my spiritual children, I've given you laws, and if you go around them, there are consequences. And we need to think about that. You know, our children can ignore our instructions. We think that we can reason around certain commands that our parents give us. But our loving Father wants his children to understand all of his words are important. So we can't ignore any of them. Even if we don't fully understand some of the scriptures, some of the teachings, we're still asked to do something. You know, it's kind of that point where I don't fully grasp it, but I still need to follow it. Because God requires us to show him respect and do what we're told. That's why sometimes my parents would say, why do I need to do that? And they go, just do it. And we do it. With that respect, you do it because you know they're looking out for us. So we're similar to our children who struggle to see that we love them, that we want the best for them in life, that we're not trying to hurt them, and yet they can feel like, you're restraining me, you're holding me back from hanging out with my friends or doing what I want. And so it's so easy to look at ourselves. This is what God is trying to get across to us. He is saying, respect my words and honor my laws, and I will bless you beyond belief. This is what the Bible is telling us. Great blessings, things we don't deserve. So are we growing and learning to have a proper fear of God? you know, we have these scales sometimes, say, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, how would you look at this? Well, I'm asking all of us, in your mind, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you fear God or respect God? You know, think about it. Because no matter where we're at, I don't think anyone would say 10, meaning you're perfect in your respect of God. And so whether you're, let's say, between 4 and 9, there's still steps to move forward and do better. Turn with me next to Deuteronomy chapter 31. A few pages forward here in Deuteronomy. Chapter 31, verse 10. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a time to look for ways to show appreciation for all that God has in store for us. You know, as we look at the heavens, and you know, on a night, and you look up there and see the stars, it should motivate us to stand in awe of the God who created that and wants us to join him in his family. Deuteronomy 31 here tells us that we should be learning to fear God. So it's a process we need to move forward in. And so here's one of the places where Israel heard the laws. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles. So God just narrows it right down and says, this is what's taking place. This is when it happens. When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Now consider that in the wilderness, there weren't personal copies of this book available to the millions of Israelites. They had to hear it from God to Moses, handed down maybe through the leaders, but either way, they had to hear it that way. And so God provided a way for his chosen nation to hear and remember his words. Today, we can read God's law anytime, not once every 7 years, as God was instructing here. Look at verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law. So no matter what our age, we all have a common purpose. God is asking us, every one of us, even if we're young, to think about our respect for our Maker. We need to pay close attention to this command all throughout the year, but at this feast, with the goal that, like, whatever I learn, I can go home and keep improving that, keep working on it. Notice how verse 12 ties together with our reverence for God and also our observance of his laws. The two go hand in hand. This is the key to increasing our esteem for the one that gave us life, the one who gave us his laws, the one who's willing to heal us, sustain us, etc. And as we grow in admiration for God, it helps us to observe his laws more carefully. That's what we're being invited to do, to be better students, better disciples of God's way. The dictionary tells us that the word fear can mean this, to be afraid or to be apprehensive. So this is the most common meaning of the word. Somebody can say, I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of snakes. So most people think of this word fear, and here it's saying that we need to fear God. But now let me give you other meanings of the word fear. It can also mean a feeling of respect and wonder for something very powerful. Well, God fits that bill. And another definition is, or a profound reverence and awe, especially for God. So that is the type of fear we're talking about. We're talking about having deep admiration for the one who gave us life, having respect. And as we read the scriptures, we should consider at times when he says it, fear God, that we could fill in with stand in awe of God, or respect God, revere him, esteem him, honor him, admire him. This is what we should put in there as a broader meaning of what God is telling us. And so this is important to God, because he writes about it several times, and it's foundational to our growth and development. Verse 13, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So during the feast days, And of course, you know that we can do it all throughout the year. But these feast days are a reminder that parents, we have the opportunity to teach our children so they continue to proceed and growing and learning. God is telling us that the 7 days of the feast is one of the best opportunities to learn, to have honor for him. Have we taken advantage of that? And if not, let's do so moving forward. What we learn during the feast, we should be practicing throughout the year. So this is what our Father is offering us. Something really tremendous that we need to do something about. He wants us to live forever, but not with deception, not with fear, not with war, famine, or disease. No, but with peace, with love, with abundance. And as our reverence increases, it motivates us to be more cautious in living by every word of God. This is what we're invited to do. Paul reminds us in Romans 7 that God's law, all of them, are holy. They're just, they're good, they're righteous. And when we live by them, they bring blessings, they bring happiness. So the principle here is that the more we stand in awe of God, the more likely we will obey his voice. And this is what God expects of us. Let's go back to chapter 5 here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. We know that the children of Israel fell short in their obedience and respect for God. It's a lesson for us because they all died off in the wilderness. You know, everybody 20 and above, God says, you won't make it because of your approach. And so every day offers us time to develop a greater admiration for our Creator. We should evaluate our daily schedule, make time to reflect. As we heard in the sermonette, we need to reflect on the greatness of God. God is saying, don't just rush around through life. Sit back, ponder what I'm telling you, meditate on my greatness. Think about it, talk about it. And our main focus in life should be to bring honor to God, to do his will, to be pleasing in his sight. The word fear in this verse is the Hebrew word Yahweh, which means to revere or deeply respect God. That's Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29 says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So we should look at God's commandments that are listed in the Bible and say, which ones can I improve in? Maybe all of them. I don't think anyone could say, well, I've got all those nailed down. I'm doing well in that. No, we're all human. And so which things? I mean, are we fearful? Because God tells us not to worry. Is it hard for us to forgive others? Because that's a requirement for getting into the kingdom of God. What about serving? You know, sometimes we want to just do our own thing. It's like, I got to make my own life good. I'm not going to worry about yours. No, we need to look out for the other person. What about humility, prayer, encouraging others? What about judging? It's so easy to judge others, but we should be judging ourselves. And of course, even for some, it's difficult to fellowship. That's a strange thing. But God says, I want you to fellowship. I want you to grow in your relationship with each other and with me. And so even if we struggle with that, like we're kind of want to be on our own, God says, fight against that, grow. And we all have things to work on. So parents, teach your children to honor God's greatness as you eat your family meals, as you play games at bedtime. Share that. Let them hear about that so it produces a way of life in them. Let's go next to Jeremiah 5 and verse 20. Jeremiah 5 and verse 20. As we look at the scriptures, it tells us that the Israelites had a fear of God, but it was a very limited one. It was only at a beginning stage. They didn't move past that. Here they are at Mount Sinai, or when we read about that, they shook and trembled, didn't they? But they didn't allow that fear, that respect, to grow deeper. And that's what God is asking of us. They needed to admire the one who freed them from slavery, the one who protected them as they marched for 40 years, the one who fed them. And yet they somehow forgot that. And that's a human tendency, isn't it? To forget to be thankful, to forget to respect somebody deeply. Jeremiah 5 and verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and proclaim it in Judah, saying, Hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not. Do you not fear me? So as we read this, apply this to ourselves. In what ways do we not fear God? Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it? And though it waves, its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. So we just get a little glimpse of the greatness of God that says, I set the boundaries. I put the oceans there and the land and all the sand. I mean, all of this, God says, I did that. And so as we study our planet, we should think about how mighty God is, how powerful he is. And then that lends to, oh, I need to show respect for the one who holds my life in his hands. This is the God we serve. And he not only wants us to enjoy this physical life, but to have eternal life and to look forward to that time. Now, Israel's attitude was similar to the current arrogance in our world today, right? We've been blessed with this great land. Look at our nation. Look at the citizens and how little we respect what God has given us. When we start trashing our society, polluting things, it just shows a lack of respect for God's planet that he's allowing us to take care of. People use his name in vain. His laws are ignored. And he even says there's going to be curses for sin, and yet we still, including us, we tend to go around laws and bring things on ourselves. Our Father is clearly telling us, if we want to become his children, we must acknowledge him in a right way. We must think about his awesome characteristics. We must talk about his amazing plan. And that's why today is such a wonderful opportunity. I don't think I've ever begun to do it to the level that God desires, about sharing and talking and thinking about the plan of God. That's what he wants his children to do. These steps build our honor for God. And I'm sure all of us can do that better. You know, we might talk about the ball game we went to, the vacation we're taking, or how sick our kids are, and all those things are okay. But if that fills up 99% of our time and we go, oh, by the way, we mentioned, oh, look at the beautiful butterfly, or something that would kind of give a little bit of glory to God, that we need a bigger percentage of our thinking and talking on God's greatness. Notice verse 23. But this people has a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these things away, and your sins have withheld good from you. So the nations around us do not understand the importance of respecting and honoring God. And they show that every time they bow down to a false god in all manner of ways. And yet God gives us the feast, and it provides an opportunity to grow in esteem and admiration for what he has done and what he will do. And every time it rains, when the deserts eventually blossom, the glory will go to God for all that. And we will not be allowed to teach others how to esteem God if we're not willing to practice that way now. Think about that. If we don't grow, and we have the potential to, God is going to judge us for that. Verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. So you can tell that we're not doing things properly here. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? So this is a question for all of us to consider. Now, what are we going to do? Because if we keep living a certain way, we're not going to be prepared for the kingdom. And we're going to be sighing and crying over that, but it's our own fault. So God is saying, think about what you're doing now so you don't have to say, what are we going to do in the end? We're going to be close to God, and he will protect us. He will guide us and lead us. And it'll be too late to wait for the great tribulation, for those trumpet plagues that are coming. That's not a time like, oh, I see something happening now. I better start studying a little more. I better go to church now. It's too late. God says, this is our day of judgment. It's upon the house of God. So will we grow in fear this coming year? Meaning respect and admiration for God. And the answer may hinge on whether we use this feast to develop more reverence. Like, if we're not going to do it on those 7 days, or any other day for that matter, then why would we do it the rest of the year? God says, I want you to leave your homes, put away those distractions, come and enjoy the abundance of your tithes, fellowship with the people, hear my words through messages, gather together, sing songs of praise, all these things. God says, I'm giving you an opportunity to practice, to respect me more, to admire my ways. And so the fall festivals are a perfect environment to practice this command. God brings us together to worship him and to hear his words. Let's go forward in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 37. Jeremiah 32, verse 37. So in the millennium, God speaks of gathering Israel and giving them a change of heart. How beautiful that God, even though Israel messed up, he says, I'm still going to work with you. I'm going to help you. So on the horizon is a time when Israel will begin to trust God to keep them safe and to bring the good upon him that he desires to do. Jeremiah 32, verse 37. He says, behold, I will gather them out of all the countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. So how wonderful, when their minds are opened up and spirit is given, they will look at things differently. Verse 39, then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. This is what God desires for the whole world, and we are just on the forefront of that. We're practicing now. And that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. So over and over in the scriptures, we read of God's command to fear him. It's vital for our growth and development. Without it, we will not be in the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying any of us don't fear God. I'm saying, let's do better. God is worthy of that. And at the return of Christ, the whole world will finally learn how to honor, how to respect, admire the one who gave them life. And especially when the Spirit of God is available, people's eyes will be opened and they will have the opportunity to really drink in of what God is saying and to see the fullness of his plan. And we have access to God's Spirit today. You know what that means? That we have work to do. We need to use that Spirit. We need to develop a greater respect for God right now. Verse 41. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. So this is God saying this. He's willing to do this for all mankind, and he has stages of that. And so God's plan will eventually teach everyone how to stand in awe of him. Most of the world has lost that ability to see that they should respect something they can't see, and that will be available to them. But we have a part in this right now to get ready to serve under Jesus Christ and to teach this way of fearing God and living by his laws and the products of that. You know, if we live that way, it'll show up in our life. We know there's many wonderful blessings that come from having deep respect. So it behooves each of us to walk in that way. Please turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. So the spiritual food, you know, we go to the feast, we enjoy a lot of physical food, but that spiritual food is vital. And if we don't eat of that, we're going to be lacking. And so the feast gives us an opportunity to see where we fall short. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 13, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Everything our loving parent does for us is for our good. And so as children, we need to put out of our mind that anything God tells us is bad for us. So there's no good excuse for not doing it, even if we don't quite understand it, as I mentioned earlier. Moses is speaking here to Israel, and yet God expects all of his children. So we can read this today, thousands of years later, and he's speaking to us as well. Because who in the world shouldn't respect God? Everyone should. And there's a time coming when the whole world will understand what God requires of them. Thankfully, we have our minds open to that now. Every one of his commands are perfect. They do promote peace. They promote love and joy. Verse 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. And so we know this already, but it's good to hear it and read it and think about everything belongs to God, even our very bodies. He knows how to prepare us for his kingdom. And that's what he's doing. That's why we're even here today, to listen to the words of God. And as we enjoy God's feasts that we will shortly be observing, do we continue to remember all that he has done for us? Because that's a part of the process, to be thankful in our minds as we think about God. We have the opportunity to build closer relationships and to share our excitement for the plan of God. So go to the feast this year with the idea that my God has provided this for me. And the opportunity to go and talk with one another and to hear the words and be excited. Wouldn't it be pleasing to our Father to hear his children talking about his plan, his ways, his goals for mankind? Verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. So once again, it goes over and over, fear God, respect him. I mean, if we overlook three scriptures, God says, I'm going to put more in there. I mean, I'm only touching on some of them. But God is saying, this is so important. Remember what Israel said? God, we will do everything you say. And yet they did not. So we show God that we're going to do everything he says by how we live our life. The words mean nothing if we don't follow through on our actions. So how well are we doing? God has the power to provide a future more beautiful than anyone here can imagine. And that is what's coming. He's just given us a little tip of the iceberg. Our minds can hardly take it in. I mean, just the idea of having a spiritual body is hard to picture, right? We've always been in this physical body. But to consider how he's going to change the earth, how he's going to bring his kingdom down to this earth, how Jesus Christ will rule, so many changes. And God wants us to envision this. One day, a deep awe for God will encompass the entire earth. What a day that will be, right? When everyone, you know, bends their knees and bows their heads before the Most High. The importance of respecting the greatest power in the universe throughout the pages of the Bible is repeated over and over. It is vital. That is what the God who made us is asking of us. And we should do it. There's nothing wrong with it. And we have no reason to reject that. And so we're thankful that God has written this down so that we don't ever forget it. Psalm 34. And verse 1. So this is a psalm that magnifies our Creator. And it shows a little bit of what God does for us. I mean, I think we all know if we just start talking about, well, he gave me life, and look at how miraculous he made my body and how it functions, and look at how the animals are, and the whole cycle of rain and all the plants. It's just amazing. So let's read a few verses here, Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. See, this is a part of revering God. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. In a sense, when we sing a song service, when we come together as brethren and talk about the things of God, this is all a part of this. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. We all want that, don't we? Nobody likes to be fearful in life and feel like everything is just weighing us down. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around. Notice this. He encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. We all want to be delivered. We all don't want to be afraid of things in life, but we do want to have fear or respect for God. And this is what this psalm is talking about. The beauty of God's plan is really hard to take in. It's so much goodness living in a world with so much tragedy. It's hard to compare the difference, but we really need to meditate on that. Because as God says here, we need to taste and see and to begin to understand that he will fulfill these wonderful things and we can be a part of it. We're expected to step out of our comfort zones and prove what God is saying. And for each of us, that might be from a little different angle, but God is saying, this is what my children need to do. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Wow, this is talking directly to each one of us, to the very children of God. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. So, and let me read verse 10 and 11 as well. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So God is willing to be patient with us, to teach us his ways, and to help us to respect him to a deeper level. This is what we're invited to do. And our admiration for God grows over time as we surrender to him. See, we have to make that step. God makes the first step, invites us. We make another step like saying, God, I am under your authority. I am subject to you, and I will follow your laws. And then as we do, we begin to see the blessings that come from that. The Spirit of God working in mankind is what will make the difference. We need to think about that. Isaiah 59, verse 20. Isaiah 59 and verse 20. So as we recognize how true and faithful God's words are, our reverence for his authority and power continues to develop. So do we grasp that? We have to take these steps in order for God's working in us to develop. To continue in our weaknesses reveals a lack of respect for those specific laws. Right? In other words, if we don't overcome and we continue in that, we show disrespect to the one who says, I'm inviting you to walk away from that. So it's critical that we evaluate those areas that we let down in. Isaiah 59 and verse 20. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. So we can see the time frame here. We're looking at a millennial setting. Now let's drop back to verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. In other words, if we put our trust in God, he's saying, I will protect you. I will take care of you. I will provide you. You won't have want for anything. Oh, we might say, oh, I want that. But on a physical level, he said, I'm going to take care of you, knowing that we don't get everything we want. But God says, you will be protected. You will be fed. And so during Christ's reign, God's Spirit will be poured out on all flesh as people submit to him, which is what we need to be doing now. We will all begin to understand that God is worthy of all praise, all honor, and admiration. Verse 21, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My Spirit, which is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. So this ties back in what we discussed earlier, that as we teach our children, and then they teach their children, it'll eventually spread to the entire earth. This is what God intended all along, and yet man has taken a different path. So this is another aspect of spreading a proper respect for God, that we need to not only do it ourselves, but we need to teach it to the next generation. So one of the ways we learn to esteem God is through the example of respecting our moms and dads. And we need to do that no matter what age we are. We need to speak highly of them. We need to not talk about all their blunders, but show respect to them for raising us and helping us and feeding us. Parents, you have the important responsibility to pass on to your children these things that God is telling us so that they will teach their children, and eventually it fills the earth. When our youth are taught that God is worthy of worship, then his invisible attributes are recognized. When they look at his creation, when they see the clouds, when they see the animals, when they notice, you know, certain things here, the ocean or even human life, and like, wow, this body did not evolve. This is a marvelous creation that God has given to us. God intended for us to be instructed from birth and then to build on that foundation for the rest of our lives. That is what we're doing right now. No matter what stage or age of life we are, we're to grow and move forward. Turn with me back to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18. So we'll look at another way in which people will be taught to stand in awe. So we talked about we need to be walking that way, then we need to pass it on to our children. Well, the future leaders over the nations will be required to set an example. And back in the days of old, during ancient Israel, the kings were given guidelines on how to follow God's laws. And this applies to us today. Why? Because we're training to be kings. So God expects us to read and understand this so that we can better teach in the future. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. Also it shall be, when he, referring to the king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Why would that be? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So all of us have access to a Bible. And if you don't, let me know. I mean, I know that all of us would be willing to donate one. And so we have access, but we have to read it. It can't just sit on the table in our home or on the shelf, because it opens our eyes to spiritual things. God says his words are spirit and they are life. And so we're invited to take that in. And so by studying and observing these words, it helps us to put life into perspective, to really think about what God is doing. And we begin to see how insignificant we are. Verse 20. That his heart may not be lifted up. So he's talking about the king, but it refers to us. That our hearts may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Brethren, we are preparing to be leaders in the future. It's hard to imagine being a king. I mean, I look at the kings today, and that's not how we're going to be, because we're going to rule righteously. We're not going to show partiality or take bribes. And so we have to think about that as leaders, we need to set an example. And yet the kings of Israel did a poor job. The majority of them did not follow God. And we do, as leaders, we do influence people. And God says, be holy. So that's what he's inviting us to do and to practice it. You know, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and at the end of his book, he summed it up by saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. So we know commandment keeping. I mean, there's laws that we live by, but it's the fear that adds to that so that we can properly keep those commandments. And when we do that, he says, this is the whole duty of man. This is really our purpose, and everything else fills in around that. And as we go to the Feast of Tabernacles, it's an excellent place to learn to have greater respect for God. You know, whether we're eating a meal, whether we're sitting in services, whether we're singing songs of praise, we need to think about how wonderful the opportunity is, even attending services. Are we on time? Are we showing respect for the one that has called the meeting that we're attending? Let's conclude here. In Psalm 96. Psalm 96 and verse 2. I'll read verses 2 through 4, which should tell us when we do the song service, we should sing with our whole heart, because it shows honor to God. Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. That word fear, that respect, that awe continues to come up as a theme that God is saying, listen to me. I made you. I am worthy of that respect. Consider what you're doing. I remember as a younger parent, when my little kids would come up and say, Dad, we want to sing you a song. You know, and whether they're, my kids were 3 years apart. So let's say 5 and 8, they go, and they had this little song and they might have been off tune, but you know, you couldn't help but smiling when your little ones want to sing and entertain and do that. And it always brought a smile to my face. And it makes me think about our Father as we sing praises to him. What parent wouldn't love their kids singing to them, especially as this psalm is singing songs of praise to God? So this is what God wants us to do. And so when we're singing here, we're not singing to the others in the room. We're singing to God. The others may hear us, but we all do it together. And so this verse shows how important this is to our Heavenly Father. In this world, it's easy to overlook praising God's name, right? We don't see much of that in society. Verse 7. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Now, look forward to a time when everyone on this planet will be praising God, when they will fear God, when they will live by his laws. That is what's coming. Everything we do must be done with all of our might, because God is watching our attitude. He knows our hearts, and he's inviting us to grow in that. So there are benefits to fearing God, because as Christians, we desire wisdom and a deeper knowledge. How does the Bible define the fear of God? Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord, well, I got that turned around. The first one is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9, 10 is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to grow in understanding things better from God's perspective, he says, fear him. He's not talking about man's wisdom, but God's. And he wants us to grow in our knowledge and wisdom of his plan, his ways, his power. He's reminding us. He's saying, the more you honor me, the more I will open your minds and teach you of my ways. And so this is how he wants the relationship to grow. Proverbs 16, verse 6 also says, the fear of the Lord causes men to depart from evil. So notice when we have this respect, all of these things start happening. These are godly principles. Our physical minds wouldn't always put all this together. So these are several reasons why we need to learn to humbly revere and respect the one who provides everything for us, the one who protects us. Actually, let's look at one other scripture, Malachi 3 and verse 16. We'll conclude with this one. Malachi 3 and verse 16. So brethren, in the days and years ahead, as you look at the world, you see it's falling apart. We don't have to despair. God has already foretold what man would do apart from him. And he's inviting us to think about his plan and how he will restore everything. So we must use the upcoming festivals to grow in the fear of God and be preparing for his kingdom. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Just drink in those words. Think about what God is telling us. Do we want God to hear our prayers? You know, especially when you're crying out for help, for healing. God says, those who fear him, he will hear us. All nations will begin to respect their Creator in the future. And we look forward to that time, but now is our time to really think about our level of respect and admiration for our great God. We're truly blessed to be invited to attend God's feast, every one of them. The Feast of Tabernacles pictures a time when Christ is ruling the nations. How different the world will be. The nations will be taught to have that deep admiration for God. Each day of the feast, the messages from God's word will remind us of the incredible future that is in store for us. And so as we go and we anticipate that, we read it from the words of God, we should be awe-inspired to continue to run our race and to improve. We know that God has so much in store for us, so we need to not only read these words, not only understand them, but to keep them. And he's inviting us to walk in that way. So let's go to the feast, the upcoming feast days, with the desire to learn to fear God always. Have a great Feast of Tabernacles and upcoming festivals.